Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. This is number 187, and today we are going to be talking about the princess problem. I sort of teased that I wanted to record this a few episodes back. I think it was like 185 when I was talking about acting as if. And I shared that we had recently gotten back from a spring break trip. And in that trip, in order to prepare for that trip, I had to do things that were a little outside of my comfort zone. And I sort of confessed that I have a bit of a princess problem and that I kind of want people to do things for me just because I haven't done them before and I know other people have. And so it's nice at times to just delegate and have people do things. But I am raising three girls and I want to show that mom, me, women, females, girls, can do anything and everything. And so I put on my big girl pants and I did it and everything worked out. And this might sound so like, well, no kidding, Steph, like we're in 2025, no kidding. I get all of that. Yet I do at times still have this sort of fantasy that I will be taken care of in some way. And, if you've coached with me or gone through that masterclass training, I joke here and there that growing up, I sort of fantasized that Prince Charming would come save me or a fairy godmother or even Mr. Belvedere or Martha Stewart. I wanted somebody to just like come in and tell me exactly what it is to do or do it for me. And so that's probably one of the reasons that personal development and self-help and writing the Slow Living book was so cathartic to me and so helpful, because helping other people go through it has also helped myself. So the acronym for Slow Living is to simply look only within. And the idea that someone knows better than you, you're going outside of you, you're looking for experts, you're turning to Google, you're turning to ChatGPT, you're turning for someone outside of you to give you all the answers. But when you take the time to look within, chances are you already know so much already. And so Slow Living is about hitting that pause button, decluttering all of the stuff that's not working for you, figuring out where it is you want to go, and then creating that kind of action plan where you get there in a slow, steady, and consistent way. We all know hustle culture doesn't work. We also know that hoping and wishing, praying for someone to swoop in like a Superman or Superwoman or super something, super maid to fix the problem for us is not sustainable. Sure, if you've got all the money in the world and you can delegate and outsource everything, great. Awesome. Good for you. But also realize if you're a parent, you're raising this next generation and you don't want them to have that mindset that they are above household or menial chores or doing hard things, and they'll just hire out or outsource or find some app on their phone to do it for them. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And that is what I have sort of decided and coined as the quote unquote princess problem. So what happens, and sometimes it's completely and totally subconscious, but from the moment they're born, girls are often surrounded by a world that kind of emphasizes beauty and passivity, kind of like sit up, shoulders back, cross your legs, put a bubble in your mouth, do not talk. So that sort of passivity and the hope that someone else will come along to solve problems. So if you think about the fairy tales that you grew up with and stories where the princess is waiting for a prince to rescue her and challenges are not overcome by personal effort or from within, but by magical interventions. And that can happen in a really subconscious way at a very young age. I mean, we're talking toddler age. So what happens when these narratives seep into your subconscious and shape your expectations as adults? What if, without realizing it, we're all still kind of waiting for our own Prince Charming to swoop in and fix things for us? So that's what this episode is about. Today, we're going to explore how these early messages impact our lives and how we can shift this narrative. And we'll discuss in depth the slow philosophy, again, simply look only within, and how embracing this mindset can empower you and the next generation to control your own trajectory, your own story, your own fairy tale ending. Okay, so if we examine the cultural narratives that have sort of influenced generations from girls, and we'll just for the instance that it's so commonplace, I'm going to put Disney on the spot. The message has been consistent. You should be beautiful. You should be kind, and you should wait for someone else to change your circumstances. And this happened in our own life. I mean, I vividly remember when High School Musical was such a thing, and my then third grader got a Gabrielle doll, and Gabrielle had a pull string in her back. And one of the preset settings that came out was, I don't want to be the freaky math girl. And hearing that was jarring. And it sent this clear message that being smart and precocious and curious and being good at math was something to be ashamed of. And so these subtle cues teach girls to downplay their intelligence, avoid challenges, and prioritize appearance and fitting in over substance. And over time, this leads to a form of learned helplessness where individuals, and again, I'm completely talking about myself here, feel incapable of handling problems on their own. And it's something, again, that I used with that plane ticket scenario and renting a car. I have learned helplessness in some ways that it's just easier for me to ask someone else to do things for me rather than doing it myself. And so that's where this episode is definitely stemming from. So if the slow philosophy is simply look only within, in a world that often encourages us to seek external validation and solutions, the biggest thing is to pause and reflect and really kind of journal out and see where you might be doing this, where you might have a mindset of dependency and try and shift it to one of empowerment. So even over time, Disney has recognized this on their own. Over the years, their portrayal of princesses has evolved significantly. This has happened in my lifetime, and it's pretty magical to see. So if you see Tiana from The Princess and the Frog, she is ambitious, hardworking, and dreams of opening her own restaurant. And her story emphasizes this value of perseverance and self-reliance. Merida from Brave, which I happen to love because we like all things Scottish in our house. That said, the premise of Merida is the fact that mom turns into a bear at times can be really problematic. But anyway, her as a character, she is a skilled archer and she challenges this kind of traditional gender role and she takes over and tries to free everyone from this bear who actually ends up turning it out to be her mom, but she didn't know that at the time. And then good old Moana. We love Moana. This is a young girl. She embarks on a daring voyage to save her people, and she relies on her courage and determination rather than waiting for someone else to step in. Even Maui, she takes Maui on. And this is obviously played by The Rock. So this is a great, big, huge man who's trying to help her, but she goes toe-to-toe with Maui. So these characters represent a shift towards more empowered and independent female protagonists. And so while you're raising young girls, just kind of pay attention to it. And if something seems a little off, it doesn't mean it needs to be banned from your household, but it can be used as kind of like a talking point. For instance, we like watching American Idol, and it's shifted as my girls have aged out. But there are times that there were some girls just acting maybe not quite as empowering for themselves. And maybe they were relying on looks instead of ability. And so just paying attention to that and letting little girls know at a young age that it's okay to do hard things. It's okay to get out of your comfort zone and stretch a little bit. And it doesn't have to be scary. And you don't necessarily have to always emphasize beauty and traditional beauty standards. You don't need to fit into a certain mold in order to partner up in life and all of those kind of things that at a young age really do get ingrained. If we're looking like at Barbie culture and all of that kind of stuff. I know in one of a women's health episode that I did a year ago or so, I brought up that Barbie movie and used that as a metaphor. So how do we encourage this? If you've got little kids in the house, for you in general, let them do hard things. Let them try, let them fail. So instead of immediately like swooping in and offering solutions, ask your child, well, what is your idea? How do you think you can fix this? And I get it. I get it if you're tired. It's so hard and it's so much easier to just swoop in. I have this kind of problem when it comes to folding laundry that I want the towels folded a certain way. But me redoing what someone else has done or just taking it away and saying, it's fine, I'll do it myself, creates this kind of learned helplessness. And it's not helpful. It's not helpful. Kids need to learn how to be full-fledged future adults who are active members of society. And I want you to also celebrate effort over appearance. So praise for hard work, creativity, and perseverance rather than just kind of flippantly complimenting, especially girls on, oh, I like your hair today, or oh, I like your dress today, or oh, I like this, or oh, I like that. That's fine here and there, but try and compliment other things outside of looks and encourage problem solving and creativity on their own. See if you can provide opportunities for growth. So involving in activities that require critical thinking and hands-on effort, such as building projects or science experiments. I loved it when I was a little girl. My dad handed me the drill and taught me how to do things. And to the point where when I was a young newlywed, I already had experience with power tools. So I would collect furniture from the side of the road and take it home and wear goggles and a mask and use furniture stripper. It was like Jasco, and I would rub it all over. And then I had an electric sander. And so again, because Adam and I are so frugal, a lot of our bedroom furniture happens to be free stuff that I've picked up from the side of the road. And we've been married for 25 years and still have that furniture that I stripped and sanded down. But because of that, I'm not scared or timid to do those kind of things. And my hope is that my daughters grow up knowing that they too can do these kind of things. And I just want you, as you continue to grow this next generation, to challenge these gender stereotypes and introduce children, boys and girls, to reverse role models and stories that showcase strong, independent characters. And when you do these, you help children build their confidence in themselves and trust their own inner voice, gut, intuition. And they don't quickly dismiss and do the I can't, which is not helpful. And if you know anything about growth mindset versus fixed mindset, you really do want that kind of growth mindset. So learned helplessness is not defined to childhood, and it definitely manifests in adulthood in subtle ways. So when I'm at work, and this happens, I'm sure, for you, if you work outside of the home and you're in a collective workplace instead of just working from home, but how often do you see people in the staff room leaving messes in kind of these communal areas, and they expect someone else to clean up for them? So instead of washing their coffee cup, they're leaving them in the sink, or they're just leaving them around and waiting for the custodian or housekeeping or someone else to clean up from them. Think about how often people are now turning to an app like DoorDash to have things delivered instead of going out and being self-reliant on their own. Things like TaskRabbit to put together IKEA furniture instead of doing things on their own. You can argue with me and say that you're providing jobs and you're boosting the economy. And I agree with you, sort of, kind of. If you have children watching you, I really want you to teach them to use the little Allen wrench and to put together IKEA furniture. Work together. You can do hard things and you don't need to outsource everything. And also, especially if you're on any sort of budget, or if you're trying to follow that FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early, outsourcing that kind of stuff instead of doing that yourself really can damage your budget. And so pay attention to that. Some people have discretionary fun money and they're happy to do that. But if you're taking a look at your finances and you think each month you're a little bit short, pay attention to how often you're outsourcing and doing things like DoorDash or delivery or Uber Eats when you could be cooking from home and teaching this next generation to cook from home and outsourcing. Okay. What else? There's something that's been floating around the internet, which is fascinating to me. And so I wanted to talk about the whole traditional wife movement, and how it's interesting when it comes up. And some people look at it as empowering. Some people look at it as anti-feminist. And I don't know exactly how, from an anthropological or sociological aspect, how future generations will look back on this kind of reemergence. I think it's reemergence. That's the word I'm working for, of glamorizing traditional women's roles. I stayed home with my kids for 12 years. I loved staying home with my kids for 12 years. I did the majority of the cooking, the majority of the cleaning, practically all of the child rearing. If you looked at the stuff I was doing, you would think, oh, okay, Steph, you're a trad wife. And I don't know. I don't think so. And I think it's because I never felt like this was something I was destined to do or had no choice to do because of my particular gender or anything like that. It was an active choice on purpose because I wanted to stay home with my kids because my youngest at the time was getting sick. She had celiac disease and I needed to quit working in order to take care of her. And then I immediately found freelance work and stuff to do on my own. That said, I really truly enjoyed staying home and taking care of the house and all of that kind of stuff. But it wasn't something that was forced upon me in any way. So there's definitely this growing trend on social media and platforms like TikTok and Instagram, known as the trad wife movement. So it's short for traditional wife. And this movement features women who embrace conventional gender roles, and they're focused on homemaking, child rearing, and supporting their husbands as the primary breadwinners. And from a religious standpoint, sometimes they use the term help meet. So they're helping meet their husband's needs and their husband's career trajectory by doing all of the other stuff around the house. So then the husband can proceed on their own work accomplishments and not have to have thought about the home and that kind of stuff. So influencers, they've popularized this lifestyle, and they showcase kind of vintage inspired domesticity. So like wearing clothes kind of similar to like the dresses on Mad Men and that sort of simple, what they believe to be simpler times. So they're baking homemade bread. They're wearing 1950s style dresses. So if you choose to focus on home and family as a valid and respectable path, the concern arises that when it's portrayed as ideal or the only acceptable role, and it's just, it's this glamorization of a time when women actually didn't have the choices that they do now. And if you're choosing on purpose to live this kind of way, great, great. But also, anyone who is choosing to live this traditional kind of way and are monetizing it and making money from it, you're not actually a trad wife. You're a self-employed Instagram or TikTok influencer, and you're creating this business based upon fantasy. So if you're listening to this, I just want you to really put on your curiosity glasses and really dive deep. What are they doing here? Are they playing upon my insecurity that I don't bake my own bread? Are they playing upon my insecurity that my kids are in daycare? And so just pay attention to that. I also really want you to acknowledge that being a parent of young children is just an era. It's just a piece and pocket of your life. I loved staying home with my little kids. I really did. But I also knew that this was a fleeting time. And so I was going to suck up every bitty bit of it and enjoy and savor that time. But I also continued with my own interests. And I want you to do that too. I continued to freelance write. I continued to query book agents. I continued to build an online business and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm not using me as an ideal. I never in any sort of way consider myself ideal in anything. I'm using myself as an example because one, I'm the one talking to you in your earbuds right now, but also just pointing out that following anyone as an expert or as a guru or as an ideal doesn't work. And that's why the slow living philosophy is the simply look only within. Sure, research and study and collect evidence and then decide on purpose what works for you and your family. But what I don't want is for you to be so rigid in your ideas of what quote unquote ideal is that you forget who you are as a person, and you forget that adults can do all things. In one of the past episodes, I talk about financial infidelity and not knowing your numbers is kind of a bit of like financial abuse. If you are being held hostage in your house and don't know the budget and don't know the numbers and don't have access to the bank account, that's not cool. You need to be an equal partnership and know all of these things. One, in case your spouse gets hit by a bus, you need to be able to take over and be the adult in the room. And two, you shouldn't have to ask permission in your own house to do certain things. So really do pay attention to that. I am completely on board with things being 50-50, regardless of who is making more money. I've now coached so many women that I see this come up over and over again, that someone thinks because they're not bringing in a certain amount of money, they have to step it up in certain ways to prove their worth. You are already worthy. So think about that. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. You are already worthy. You do not need to prove yourself to anyone. And if you're in a situation where you don't feel worthy, or you're around someone who does not make you feel worthy because you don't make your own bread, or you don't do this, or you don't dress in a 1950s housewife apron, that is a red flag. And that's something to pay attention to. Many times women who are making money match up with someone else, and their ego comes into play. And so if you are told to dial it back at work, or be less ambitious, or that's not feminine, or something like that, that's another thing to kind of pay attention to. And maybe bring in a marital counselor, maybe bring in a lawyer, and set up a pre or a post NUP, and really pay attention, because no one should be held hostage in any way when it comes to finances and tasks and chores around the house. If you feel like you are never able to go out with friends because your significant other doesn't think they can watch the children, that's not okay either. Everything needs to be an equal partnership. So there's a few past podcast episodes that I want to give you. They were from a few years ago. And so I just want you to take the time and really dive into some of the stuff that I shared with you today, and think about how they come up in your own household. So then you can decide on purpose if things are great. If things are great, things are great. But if things could use a little bit of tweaking, and if you know already that you want to raise this future generation to not think in such black and white gender roles, or princess versus prince roles, kind of see if there needs to be a little bit of tweaking. So episode 59 was an episode I called Thoughts on Codependency. Episode 60, I called Four More Years. And the idea of four more years, if things are going great, great, keep at it. But if things are not going great, come up with a different plan. 81, remember the woman. The woman is the woman behind the mom. If you can't remember who she is, carve her out. Decide that she's in the lump of clay that maybe your current body is in, and carve her out and remember her. 83, decision fatigue. Women and the mental load that they carry is huge. And that does lead to the princess problem, and that you don't want to do another thing. You're exhausted. You're literally exhausted from all of the stuff happening. But if your mental load is so high and you haven't alleviated that kind of decision fatigue, it's time to delegate, and it's time to think things through in some way. 146. So that was a more recent one. This is this past July. And it was 25 thoughts I had about being married for 25 years. And again, I'm not the ideal. I'm just an example. I like being married to Adam. I think he's a great guy. We've got great kids. Is it easy peasy pumpkin squeezy all the time? No, he gets on my nerves. I get on his nerves. But we do communicate and talk things out and try to model that behavior for our kiddos. Okay, pretty people. If you've got any questions about this, email me. I'm a real person. I will write you back. Steph@StephanieO'Day.com. I'm on Instagram @StephanieO'Day. We do have a Simple Shortcuts to Peace course. It is ongoing. You can come in at any time. You are not behind. That's at stephanieoday.com/peace, PEACE. If you want to hop on a free coaching call with me to see how it works, that's great. I'm happy to coach you at any time. StephanieOday.com/mindset. We'll go through your most pressing current mindset issue and I'll coach you through it. Okay. Consider yourself loved and hugged. I think you are amazing and lovely and wonderful. And I hope you're having a great day. And I'll talk to you again next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at StephanieOday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.